may be seated this morning. Open your Bibles up today to Mark chapter 13. We're making our way through here, and we've hit a passage here in Scripture here that is often talked about. It's actually the most studied topic in Scripture when you look at Scripture. And believe, just tell you straight out, y'all know this about me as your pastor, it's one of my least favorite topics. And there's a reason why. I'm going to give you the reason this morning. But a lot of times churches, we get hung up on end times. Not only it's the Bible says don't be ignorant of these things, and that's true. I understand the study of Revelation and tying that to Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah. I understand all those things, and those things need to be taught. But I think sometimes as churches, we get so hung up on those things and we get so maybe passionate about those things and trying to understand them to such a depth that we maybe miss the fact that there's so many other things that we have to be doing in the here and the now. And that's where I guess as your pastor, where I sort of, I guess, get hung up sometimes because I think, man, there's so much that still needs to be done. You know, in Matthew 24:14, if we're going to talk about end times, Matthew 24:14, everybody wants to say all the time, he's going to come back really soon. But then you flip over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it talks about that all ears will hear the name Jesus. All people groups will hear the name Jesus. Now, as sad as it is in our culture today and our technology today, there are still some 4,000 some odd people groups that have never heard the name Jesus today. So we still have a lot of work to do. Amen. A whole lot of work to do. And so we see this passage here in Mark, and sometimes we maybe get hung up a little bit and we get to thinking about those things, but then we get to Mark chapter 13 here at the end of the chapter, and Jesus is speaking here. And he just tells us flat out what he thinks on this subject. Now, if we're going to follow anybody's understanding or anybody's direction, who should it be? Jesus, right? So I think this is a pretty good evidence here for us to understand that we have some priorities or some other things that we have to be maybe focused on. And as an older teenager, when I was that age years ago, I'm glad that there was a group that had some priorities in that for my sake. And me being able to come to Jesus and have Him. And so this morning, I ask that you would stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning, Mark chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 32 through 37 this morning. This is Jesus speaking, and I'm reading out of the ESV. It says, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows." Now, I could just pray and we could go home right now. Amen. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves his home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Dear Heavenly Father, God, we're thankful this morning, God. We're thankful for your word. God, I pray that as we apply this word to us today, God, I pray that we'd be very vigilant and diligent, God, into what we should be doing and what we need to be doing for you. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Okay, looking here at the scripture here and seeing this here. Now, naturally, we could underline maybe no one knows, be on guard, keep awake. Jesus says that a few different times there, stay awake, have that kind of knowledge there. But before we jump into this, I know you know as well as me, if you've been around enough, you know that there have been folks out there that have predicted when Jesus is going to come back. Right? And I sort of got interested in this. I got to think, man, I wonder how many times that's actually happened, say, in the last 100 years or so. And so I started doing a little investigation on that, and it's been over 50 times. folks have calculated, Jesus is going to come back on August 8th of this date. Unless we're missing something, I don't seem to you. No. So if Jesus says no one knows, why are we so diligent? Why are we so made up in our minds and our hearts that we've got to try to pinpoint a date or a day or a time that says, hey, this is when my Savior's coming back? What normally happens with the world around us and the lost folks around us when somebody starts to say things like that? What do folks normally start to say? They're crazy. They're off their rockers. What are they talking about? Why are they doing that? So yeah, in the last 100 years, about 50 recorded times has been said that, okay, this is the date, this is going to happen. You say, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? We're going to get to it. How many in the room recently, maybe even recently, said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it because he's going to come back soon. Raise your hand. Oh, come on, be honest. Oh, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to pay that bill because he's coming back. No, I'm kidding. Don't go that route. I'm not worried about that car payment. He's going to be here back before the end of the month. No, don't go that route. Don't do that. But we've all probably been in situations or conversations, different things, and we're just like, you know, hey, he's coming back soon. Maybe we watch the news. I get that a lot in ministry. People watch the news, and they're like, well, he must be coming back soon. You know, Russia's fighting all these countries. He's coming back. Really? How do you know that? How do you see that? Because I'm pretty sure I just read, only the Father knows when he's going to return. So why in the world should I be so overwhelmed or worried with the idea that I need to know when my Jesus is going to come back? Here's the fact of the matter. I know he's coming back. That's what I need to know, amen? I believe that. I trust that. I know that to be true. I know that he will come back and he will take me home. So if I know that fact and I have that knowledge and that promise is embedded in me and deep inside of me, why do I need a date? I don't need a date. And hence Jesus goes, no one knows. So no one knows that date or that time, and it even goes in Scripture here in Mark, it even lists the different times of the day, does it not? It gets pretty specific, right? Now some of y'all are going, well, I can see where this sermon's going. I'm sort of hoping he shows up right about now, right? Are y'all there? Come on now, I rolled into the house at 12:30 last night, okay? I may say something gets me in trouble this morning. Yeah, nothing new. But no one knows. And so we see this and we think about that. So my challenge to you this morning, you say, oh man, it's going to be more of a soapbox. Maybe it is. My challenge to you this morning is simply this. I really do only have 2 points today. And in looking at this, though, instead of maybe saying, always I'll come back soon, I have a new thing I want you to start saying. Because see, the lost community out there, the lost folks that don't know Jesus, those folks that desperately need hope and light and purpose and peace and love and forgiveness and all the things that is offered only through Jesus Christ, amen? They don't really need to hear, oh, he's coming back soon, because they're not in the right what? Place. They're not in the right position. So if you want to start maybe doing one-liners like that, maybe start saying, only Jesus saves. Oh, now that would be an eye-opener, wouldn't it, in our culture today, right? Only Jesus saves. Would that raise some eyebrows? Probably so. Eye rolls, maybe. I'll take those eye rolls. When you're standing in Walmart and you're checking yourself out before you get to your checkout point, say, only Jesus saves, and see what happens. Fun. But maybe we start saying those kinds of things. And focusing on what we need to be focusing on, that's what we're going to look at this morning here. Because as we look at these things, as we think about these things, as we focus all our attention on just the end times, what we end up doing is we're missing out on what God has purposed for us in today. And that, quite frankly, church, is what we're missing as a church in this country today, is those steps right here and now. Again, I've shared the stat. We're an SBC church. You look at SBC stats and the interviews and the surveys they do, and of believers in SBC churches today, the largest denomination still in the world, less than 7% have ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. How unbelievably sad is that, church? We have folks sitting in our chairs and our pews across this country this morning that have been church members and saved by grace of God for 50 years and have never once told anybody else about Jesus. What are we doing? What are we doing? Is that what God calls us to do? Oh, you're my child now, so I want you to come warm a chair for me. I want you to show up once a month and make sure you smile at so-and-so. Is that what God desires, church? No. So you look at these stats and you look at these things and you go, well, we have the here and the now. God has given us something right now. And yet so many of us are so focused on what's going to happen at the end. You say, well, Pastor, are we not supposed to study Revelation? You want to study Revelation? Go for it. You know how many times I've studied Revelation in 20 plus years of ministry now? More times than I can count. More times than I can count. And yet we have, it's not very high. No, Tom, I heard that. That's not very high. I get it. Leave my Tennessee education alone. Okay? But I think about that and I look at that and I go, my goodness. We have our churches filled with folks. Oh, they know about the seven stars. They know about the seven angels. Oh, they know about the seven churches. But they can't even share their faith with somebody else. That breaks my heart, church. They can tell you the connection between Revelation and Ezekiel. But they don't have the boldness to tell somebody else about Jesus and what he did on the cross for them. You see where my mind gets a little messed up? Where my heart gets a little confused? And so this morning, I want us to look at what we need to be doing right now. What we need to start today. Now, Mark gives us some things right here in this passage as well, and we can't look over those things. He says that we're to guard something. Are there some things in our lives that need to be guarded today? Okay, church, are you there? Okay. Absolutely. Minds, our hearts, our truth. There's so many things that we need to be guarding today, guys, because they're really just becoming watered over, are they not? I wrote down here in my notes, I said we need to be guarding our truth. We need to be guarding what God has given us to live by. And if we're not willing to live by this, well, there's no point of this place here. Amen? Y'all hear me? If you're unwilling to live by this book right here, we might as well shut up the shop here, close it down, be done with it. Okay? It's pointless. So we better be starting to guard the truth, guard the fact that God has given us this. And he said, listen, you have something to stand on. The world may not like it. The world may disagree with you. The values of the world may go against it. But it doesn't mean that we change our values. Amen? Yet, unfortunately, as we see in churches and different things today, a lot of our churches are giving in to the world and the culture around us because, well, we don't want to upset people, right? We just want to love them. How do we love people with the love of God? How do we do it, church? With what? The Word. We start watering it down. We start cutting stuff out. We're no longer guarding truth anymore. Mark says here, listen, we've got some things we need to be guarding. We need to guard these things. So guard the truth. Yes, also guard your hearts, church. Guard your hearts. Does that matter? I tell my kids all the time, at least I think I do, Daisy can look at me right now, but garbage in, garbage out. She's looking at me, no you don't. Garbage in, garbage out. Our kids are influenced, amen? We drop them off at school. Are they influenced? Yeah, they are. Peers, teachers. We better be guarding their hearts. We better be doing something more. We better be pouring into them in such a way that they know they have something special in Jesus. I guarantee you their peers are not going to like it. Yes, I'm pointing towards the school, okay? They're not going to like it. But we better be pouring truth into them in such a way that their hearts are guarded so that not only that they're protected, but guess what? There are a lot of kids in our school district here, yes, in West Texas, yes, in small town, yes, in Cahoma, that desperately need the truth and love of Jesus Christ. Desperately in our school. We have a school full of students and teachers that desperately need that love. So if we're not guarding the truth, if we're not guarding our hearts and our children's hearts, listen, we're already failing. We have tasks that need to be done right now, and we can't fail at those tasks, amen? So guard those things. Guard them. The second thing, though, guys, that we need to be doing is this, and I'm going to harp on this, and you know I'm going to harp on this, but if we're not sharing the truth that we're guarding, what is the point, church? What's the point of all of it? You say, Brother Mark, it's weird to go door to door. Who cares? We're not Mormons. Since when have they gotten that token? Since when is that given to them, their copyright? No. Brother Mark, it's different that we pay you to do it. I've heard that one. We pay you to do it. That's your job. You know, that's what you tell others about Jesus. Really, ultimately, you know what the pastor's job is? Uh-oh, we're going to get technical this morning. That's right. My job is to teach you how to go tell the people. So I need to do better at my job, amen? Sharing the truth matters, church. Being willing to do that. Listen, Jesus, yes, He could come back tomorrow. He could. We don't know. But I can tell my heart to your heart is this, is that I know that I've got friends and I've got family that do not know Him. Selfishly, I want more time to make sure they know what I know here in the present. That's the reason we have to share the truth. Say, I can't do it. Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, it says that you are filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Now, again, I know we're Southern Baptists, and we don't have any chandeliers to swing from, okay? Shame on us. We got some speakers, okay. I'll get up there sometime. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. So if you're sitting in this room this morning, you say, well, that's the preacher's job. I don't know how to do that. I don't have the words to do that. I can't do that. And you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He died for me. I believe that He has saved me. If you say those words this morning, you mean those words, listen, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have 0, 0, 0, 0, 0 excuse not to share. None. Me, you, nobody. Doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. we have every opportunity to share His love. You know why we don't share it? Because it's not convenient. You know other reason we don't share it? Well, I've already done it like 100 times. You ever said that? You ever been there? I've already told them. I'm glad I had friends and family that got through my hard head. Told me a few 100 times, right? I just can't do it. We have the Holy Spirit power. Sharing truth, Mark 16:15, you also see it in the Great Commission in Matthew. It simply says that we have to go do it, church. We have to do it. We just go. Just go. Stop making excuses. Stop saying, well, I've got to get this done first. You ever done that? Okay, God, I need to do this right here first. Let me go ahead and do this, and then I can go take care of telling them about Jesus. Don't we have it backwards? We have it backwards, church. I've told you in this room 100 times. I'll tell you 100 more times. I believe as SBC, we've done some great missions, but I also believe as SBC, we've really got it backwards for many years, because what we do in our missions so many times is we go in with this great endeavor with Jesus, and we go into these places in these foreign countries, and we give them all these material things first, and then we tell them about Jesus. That's backwards, church. We need to go in there and tell them about Jesus, and then serve them and help them. Amen? We have to go. We have to be willing to knock on that door. Listen, church, I've been here 3 years. We have knocked on every door in this community, I think, at least once or twice. Amen. And I'm still surprised at some of the responses we get. Not negative. Can't believe you're doing it. You mean you just want to come to my house and pray for me? Nobody's ever been to my door. We have the greatest gift of all time, and yet we can't even go to our neighbor's house. Guys, Kahoma's not that big. I'm just give you a heads up, okay? It's not that big. It's only a few blocks this way and only a few blocks that way. We could all walk it. Well, most of us could walk it. It's not that big. We have no excuse not to go and tell others. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, great verses to highlight in your Bibles there if you like to highlight your Bible. Basically, it means, it says this, it says to make God known. Now, how cool is that? Shouldn't that be our life goal right now? Don't worry about when He's coming back. Let's just make God known right now. Now, how cool is that? You make God known in a lot of ways, amen? It can be just be having fun. Do y'all like to have fun? I mean, heck, we were at a Christian concert last night, right? We make God fun, make Him known by just having fun with people around you. That's what I did. I had a lady about to die of asthma laughing so hard. Just make Him known. Live your life in such a way that your words drip with Jesus, and that your actions drip with Jesus. Make Him known to people around you. Listen, yes, He may come back in an hour. He may come back in a month. He may come back in 10 years. But the fact of the matter is we've got things we can be doing right now. And ultimately, instead of worrying about and thinking about that, let's just make Him known. Because I don't know about you, church, but I have neighbors and I have friends and I have family that I would really love to see up there with me someday. Amen? But if we as believers are so consumed with, I just wish you would just come on back, where do all those people go? They don't go where we're going because they don't know Him. Only Jesus saves, church. There's no other way. You say, oh, Pastor, this is discouraging to me. Because I just want him to come on back. I just want him to come on back. That's all I live for. This morning I've given you something far greater to live for. Much greater. That's the opportunity to make him known. The opportunity to have family and friends have that gift that you have. It's a gift worth sharing, amen? I'll close on this. How many folks in the room right now, show of hands, we got to wake some of you up, okay? How many in the room like to get gifts? Be honest. Do you like to get gifts? Some are like, I don't know. So if I rolled out there and got you a brand new car, you wouldn't be like, no, I don't want that. No, it's okay. Give it to somebody else. Yeah, right. Come on now. Says the man in the 65 Mustang. All right, here we go. We like to get gifts. We enjoy gifts. When you get a gift you really, really, really like, or you've been excited about it, do you not want to show people that gift? Do you not want to sort of show it off a little bit? You do. I want to show it off. I don't want to rub sore here or anything, but I do remember a Wednesday night recently when Tristan and May pulled up in their new to them car. Sorry, Tristan, I had to go there. And then they came in, they're like, hey, let's go show you the car. That Hyundai. Was it? No. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was now, sorry. But yeah, Mitsubishi, yeah. So I'm going out there and look at their car, look at their new car. And, you know, they wanted to show it off. It was new to them. Granted, it got stolen that night. But, I mean, it was new to them. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was cool. It's great. Somebody else really liked it too, evidently. I mean, I don't know. It's somewhere in Mexico right now. But we like to show it off. Now, if we like to do that with just tangible things that we have here, why in the world can't we not do it with a tangible thing called Jesus? Something that we say has changed our lives, has given us a 180, has made us new, has given us purpose, has given us hope, has given us a future, has given us a promise of eternal life, and yet we take that gift that we should share and we just keep it to ourselves. Jesus can come back at any moment. So that should tell us this morning and encourage us this morning. Church, look at me. It should encourage us. Listen, we should be pouring that gift out. People talk about you. You know what they should say? That's the guy, that's the gal that gives Jesus. How cool would that be? So this morning, we see in Scripture, no one knows the time. No one knows. Yes, Scripture says don't be ignorant on it, but no one knows. Only the Father. So I think we have some other purposes that we can be consuming our times with, amen? Other than those things. Why? Because we look around us. Even in West Texas, even in Oklahoma, and there's a world around us that maybe they have some right answers, but they don't know the right answer. Anybody can answer a Bible question, but until you have that right relationship with Him, that's all that matters. So we have a great purpose, a great job, a great privilege right now that we can be doing. But now here's the cool thing. I promise I'll end on this. Guess whose choice it is to do it? It's yours. It's your choice. That's the cool thing about God, isn't it? Now maybe for some of us, God needs to come down here with a belt and go, do it. You know what I'm saying? Right? You're smiling, I see you. But he doesn't. He just shows us in his word, hey, this is what you need to be doing. This is the privilege that you can do, because one day I will return. there's going to be some people left out if we don't get to it. So there's our challenge. I'm going to do a little different this morning. We're not going to have a time of invitation this morning. I want you to take just a couple of minutes right now. I want everybody to close your eyes. This is going to be our invitation time this morning. It's going to be a little different, okay? Knowing this passage this morning, I want you to think of some names right now. I don't want you to say anything out loud. I just want you to think of some names right now. Maybe you have some names right now and you think, you know what? I am not 100% sure that this name knows my Jesus. I'm not so sure this name, if he were to come back right now, that he would spend eternity with my Jesus. Think about those names just for a moment. Maybe it's a family member, a brother, a sister. Maybe it's even a parent. Maybe it's a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, someone you do school with. Now I want you to just take just a moment. Yes, I want you to pray for them, but I also want you to pray and ask God to give you the courage and the boldness to take the privilege to share with them what you've been so richly blessed with in Jesus. Just take a few moments right now and you pray to yourselves. Heavenly Father God, we are thankful for this morning. God, we are thankful for this place, for this opportunity of worship. God, as we think of these names this morning, as each person has a name or two or three on their hearts right now, God, I pray that as we've seen in your word this morning, you've given us the power, you've given us the privilege. God, I pray that you would give us the desire. God, for them to know you. God, we know that you have promises. You've made promises to us that you will return. But God, we have duties and commands that we must be doing right now. And God, I pray that we would live those out. God, I do pray for each of those names, God, more than I can name, more than I can know. God, I pray that your Spirit would move, that there would be conviction, that there would be change, and God, that there would be celebration of more coming to the only one that saves, and that is you. God, we praise you for it, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, well, good deal. Is it good to be in the house of God? Amen. It can be a little challenging, church, but thank goodness. Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you. Encourage those that are out. We know we've got some families out with different sickness. I encourage you to reach out to them, text them, call them, love on them this week, okay? Do that. Wednesday night, kiddos and youth back at it. And just remember, next Sunday morning, you get to hear a really good sermon, okay? So just come out for Tristan, okay? He'll do a great job, and just be prepared for that as well. No Sunday evening activities tonight, beware of that. But I hope to see you Wednesday night, next Sunday morning. You are dismissed.